Good morning, Solid Rock. Well, I am happy to announce that we are starting a brand new six-week series. So I've been doing 6 weeks series after, you know, I had done themes in the Gospel of John, and it lasted like 396 weeks. And I started getting cross-eyed looks from people saying, okay, so, you know, really? You know, so I thought, you know what? I can take a hint. So we're doing 6 weeks series, and this one is something very dear to my heart. You know, here's the deal. When I was thinking and praying about a new sermon series, there was a scripture that kept coming to mind, and I want to read that scripture to you. Here it is: always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, but with gentleness and respect. So here's what came to mind, and I believe it's from the Lord. The times we're living in are divisive. They're going to be, unfortunately, I believe, becoming increasingly divisive. And so I believe that those who are not Christians amongst our friends and family are going to become more bold in asking probing questions of those of us who are Christians. And what the Lord is bringing to my mind is there's a number of scriptures that says that my job, it says that God raised up, you know, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints meaning the Christians, for the work of the ministry, to equip you. And I had to ask myself, have I been equipping you for those kinds of tough questions? And especially for those of you who use social media online, because that can be a little bit more perilous. If you say something online that is embarrassing to you, that can get spread out as exhibit A of that you're a nutcase. This is real today. So I feel like my job, in some measure, is to equip you to handle the tough questions, to handle the questions that are likely to come up these days in a way that's going to protect you, and in a way that will give you sort of ammunition, if you will, as to know what to say. So with that in mind, we have a title for our sermon series. Gotcha questions. Okay, why do I say that? Well, because unfortunately, even those who maybe care about us somewhat, their questions to you as a Christian may not always have a good intention. It may be to make you look bad, or at least what you believe to look bad. How many know that? Okay? So I'm going to give you a definition of what a gotcha question is. Of course, gotcha comes from I got you. Gotcha questions. A gotcha question is a question asked in the hope of drawing out an answer that will be damaging to the reputation or the cause of the person being asked. On purpose, I'm going to ask you this question so that you look bad. I'm going to trap you. Now, why is that important? Well, because Jesus Christ himself faced gotcha questions all the time. One example is, of course, when they thought they had him trapped. You know, let's ask him if we should pay tax. If he says yes, then the Jewish people will hate him. If he says no, then we get the Romans after him because he's against Rome. It's a no-win situation for him. Of course, God gave him wisdom. Jesus said, well, okay, why are you trying to trap me? In other words, don't you know you're doing your verbal jousting? You're messing with God. You want to be smarter than God? Okay, give me the coin. Give me the coin for the tax. Give me the coin. Whose image and likeness? What language is he using? Image and likeness. When God created mankind, it says he made mankind in his what? Image and likeness. Whose image and likeness is this on the coin? And they all said Caesar. And he says, okay, then render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God. Bingo. It's like the most brilliant answer. In other words, it's like he's saying, yeah, you have to pay taxes, but God's not interested in your money. God's not interested in your taxes. He's interested in your image and likeness of him that he put in you. Render yourself to God. Render your money to taxes, fine, that's fine. But render yourself to God. That's kind of the idea. Perfect answer. But that was a gotcha question. certain point in the Gospels, it says, and they did not dare to ask him any more questions because, you know, you're not smarter than God. You're not going to out-joust him verbally. It's not going to happen. Okay, but my job, I believe, scripturally, is to help you a little bit so that you'll be equipped for what may be coming. Okay? So, one of the questions that might sometimes be asked at first as a gotcha question, but actually has a lot of potential to plant seeds for Jesus, is the following question. So why are we here? And that is the title of today's message. So let's pray now for the teaching of the message. Shall we? Please join me. Lord, I know that when I was saying that the times are divisive and are likely to become more so, I saw a lot of heads nodding. Lord, we don't shrink from that. You're the one that holds the times and the seasons in your hand. And if this is a time for us to shine, we believe if you help us, it could be the church's finest hour. So we pray that you would use this message and this sermon series to help us to be ready to do what that scripture says, to obey that scripture, which says, be ready to give a defense to all that ask you to give an account for the hope that is in. You are the hope that is in us, Lord. So use this message to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So if a follower, now, some of what I'm going to say today may be a little bit of review, but where I'm going, ultimately, I'm pretty sure none of you have thought about before. So just bear with me. And we're going to cover some bases first and then go where I believe I'm supposed to go with this message. So this is a picture of Jesus ascending into heaven, and it's at the time of his ascension. So Jesus Christ, Son of God, he came to die for our sins, to be a ransom for us, to take the punishment we deserve so that we would not be judged in the day of judgment because he would take our punishment. And then he rose from death on the third day to conquer death for us. And then he gives his assignments, he gives his apostle the assignment to tell the good news about himself to the whole world. And that's what that picture is. He's going to be taken up into heaven after giving that assignment. And here's what he's saying as he's giving them that assignment. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I want to tell you a story. This happened just this past week, after I was feeling led to give this message. So I go into work. I work as a chaplain full-time at a retirement community. And there's the red light is on my phone, which means there's a voicemail. There's a voice message. So I go ahead and put the voicemail. And it's this one woman. Now, this particular woman, now, I got her permission to share this story. So it's her. I recognize her immediately. She says, Dominic, I have to tell you what happened. So her story, as far as her and I are concerned, is that her husband died last year in the whole COVID thing. And it was very, very difficult. And there was a circumstance that I'm not going to go into that made it even worse. And so at a certain point, she wasn't even sure if she would be able to go to the funeral. That's how bad this situation got in interpersonal sense. But by the grace of God, he gave me words, and then God confirmed it, what I had told her, and this was totally lifted off of her. And so she was there at the funeral, and she again totally was just in love with her husband. I'll say that much. And that she was in peace. So she, for her, that was kind of a revival moment for her. And she began to read her Bible. Now, in the interim, the year that passed, she had noticed that her eyesight, her ability to read, was getting worse and worse and worse. So she explained to me on this voicemail, she said, you know, my eyesight's been getting so, so bad. Last night, finally, I could not read anything. I just couldn't read anything. And I started crying and I said, God, I can't read your word. I can't read the devotional. She has a daily devotional. I can't read it. You know, please heal my eyes so that I can read at least your word. She went to bed. So in the middle of the night, she got up to go to bed. And so she had turned her light on to get up, I assume, use the restroom or something. And she went by and she noticed something different. She picked up her book and she could read it. And she starts crying and she said, I can read it. So she said, I couldn't go back to sleep, Dominic. I went in the living room and I just read my Bible until I finally went to sleep. And I just had to tell you that. So I called her up. You know, I'm not sorry. You can hear her voice breaking up as she's telling me this. And she says, oh, Dominic, I left you a voice message. Yes, I just heard it. You know, why don't you tell me? So she tells me. And apparently God had healed her ability, her nearsightedness, you know, what's the word? God had healed her eyesight so that she could read, her up-close eyesight. That was the extent of the healing, but it was fully healed. Her up-close, so she could read her Bible. So I was just praising God with her and everything, and I said, "Do I have permission to share that, you know, with you all?" So, "Oh, yes, yes, and I'm going to share. I'm going to share with everybody. I want to tell everybody about Jesus. I want to tell everybody about Jesus now. I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to put my clothes on. I'm going to start telling everybody about Jesus." You shall be my witnesses. That's what a witness is. Now, why am I putting this up? Because, you know, she doesn't, you know, I teach up here and I say, you know, this Bible is like a contract. It's God's word. You should learn the scriptures and speak it and command. And I encourage you to do that because there is a sort of a spiritual reality in the cosmic sense where you can have authority over the enemy when you do that. But she didn't know any of that. She's just, you know. I don't mean this in any way derogatory, but the old saying goes, she's a garden variety Presbyterian. She just knows, go to church, say the Lord's Prayer, and read your Bible. And so she's talking to God because God is a person. God, I can't read your Bible. And you know what God spoke to my heart? Dominic, did you notice? She didn't say, God, I'm going blind. I'm going to go blind. I won't be able to see. All she cared about was what? I can't read your Bible. How many of us would, you know, if our eyesight was going worse and worse, would the first thing saying, God, I can't read your Bible. Heal my eyesight so that I can read your Bible. Come on now. So all that to say, you know, God is a person. The reason you won't have anything to witness about. You want to be in love with Jesus so that you have something to say about Jesus in your life, so that you can be a witness. By all means, you know, I would encourage you just to spend time, talk to him, listen back, so that he speaks back to your heart, and you'll find out that there's things that will happen in your life so that you'll have something to say. So here's the point. If you're a Christian, the question, so why are we here? You are here to help spread the good news about Jesus in our present time. That's it. Because if not for this, you'd be in heaven. You're here. You know, it said that David served the purposes of God in his generation. We're here to serve the purposes of God in our generation. If things are going to get dicey and divisive in our time, so be it. We need to be witnesses. If you're a Christian, you're here to help spread the good news about Jesus in our present time. What is the good news about Jesus? Now say it with me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But when it says God so loved the world, does he mean all people? He does. This is 1 Timothy 2:1-4. God our Savior wants who? All people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But God, does all people mean even bad people? People have done you wrong? That you're afraid of? This is a picture of a guy named Ananias in the book of Acts. and Jesus appearing to him in a vision. And that question, do you mean all people, Lord, that you want all people to be saved? That's probably the question in his mind when he heard about a certain Jewish leader named Saul of Tarsus who was hunting down Christians and having them arrested and killed. You and I have no concept of that. You and I have no concept of that. What if there was somebody that was really well known in the Christian community? You know, Billy Graham. Let's say a Billy Graham figure, and of course trying to give a comparison. It's well known now that he has authority from the CIA, FBI, and the government, the sheriff's department, to hunt you down, to put you in prison, and then to have you killed. And they're coming for you. If not today, tomorrow. See, we can't imagine that. That's what this guy is thinking. This is Acts 9, verse 10. There was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go to the street called Straight, which means probably that's the main marketplace area, because all the streets in those days, they'd go out like this, but the main thoroughfare. Go to the street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand upon him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here, meaning in Damascus, he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon your name. But the Lord said unto him, what? Go. For he is a chosen vessel unto me. Can we ever wrap our heads around that? So that's how the persecutor of Christians, Saul of Tarsus, became the Apostle Paul. And that is also why Paul later wrote in this well-known Bible verse in Ephesians, go ahead and say it with me, we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. Whew. So what does that mean to you and I? It means this, point number two. If you're a Christian, you are here to live out a destiny that God conceived for you in his predestined past. Now, I know you haven't thought of that one. You thought of the first one I said. Yeah, I'm here to preach the gospel. I'll bet you haven't thought of that one. If you're a Christian, you are here to live out a destiny that God conceived for you in his predetermined past. If you don't believe there's some sense of destiny in your life, you're always going to be wondering if you did something wrong in the past that can't be undone. That can't be undone in terms of God's will, God's plan for your life. If you don't believe there's some sense of destiny about who you are, you're always going to wonder if there's something you did wrong in the past that is impossible to be undone concerning God's will for your life. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which he has foreordained. In the case of Apostle Paul, his destiny was to be the Apostle Paul. That was his destiny. But when God enabled Paul to fulfill his destiny as the Apostle Paul, was it for Paul's benefit or for other people's benefit? When God enables you to fulfill your destiny, is it for your benefit or for other people's benefit? The way it works in God's reckoning of things, it's for primarily for other people's benefit. It's for your benefit in the sense that you're saved, but it's primarily for other people's benefit. Let's look at something very unusual that happened to Paul that was part of the deal in his foreordained purpose. This is 2 Corinthians 12. This is Paul speaking about something that happened to him. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. So in the Hebrew reckoning of things, the first heaven is kind of where we are. Second heaven is realm of the angels. Third heaven is the throne room of God, heaven. Okay? Third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. He was given a lot of inside baseball. For him or for us? Just like in the book of Revelation, God would say something to John and say, you know what, don't write that one down. But then he'll give other stuff and say, no, you're going to write that down. In reading this then, this is Ephesians 3, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So I'm skipping around a little bit, but this is now Ephesians 3, verse 2. In reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Well, let's keep reading. This mystery is that through the gospel, through the good news about Jesus, the Gentiles, those who are not Jewish, who don't know God, are also heirs together with Israel, his covenant nation, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise, meaning in the covenant. So the mystery that God had always intended to reveal was that God was going to open his covenant with Israel to the whole world. The reason that's a mystery is because Adam and Eve, when they decided to obey Satan rather than God, gave the whole world, if you will, the authority to Satan. And it was only because Abraham was willing to kill his son for God, the way that God was willing to kill his son, Jesus, for man, that God, in the cosmic legal sense, had a right to start his own people through Abraham. And so Israel then belongs to God. The world belongs to the devil. The thing that's a mystery is God always intended to bring the whole world into that deal, even though they don't deserve it. Unless you're Jewish, even though we don't deserve it. Okay. Now here's the thing that just really shook me to my core this past week. This is Paul still speaking. His intent, which means his intent in doing this, his intent in bringing the whole world into a covenant relationship, was that now through the church, meaning with a capital C, the whole believers in Jesus, through the church, his intent is that through the church, through you and I, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Rulers and authorities means angels. So apparently, there's these creatures that we call angels that are at such a high level of existence and so powerful and something so amazing that we cannot understand, that it meant that, yes, mankind is dragged into this cosmic showdown between God and the devil amongst the principalities and powers in heaven. And yes, that's important enough to allow us, humanity, you and me, to be caught in the crossfire. That is incredible. We are all involved in something that we can't possibly understand. If you're a Christian, you are here to train for an eternity of proving God's wisdom and grace to the angels in a future beyond your understanding. God has raised us up with him and seated us in the heavenly places in Christ so that in the ages to come, he might display the boundless riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Let me read that again. God has raised us up with him and seated us in the heavenly places so that, in other words, for this reason, that in the ages to come, he might display that we would be exhibit A, that we'd be the prime example, the boundless riches of his grace. Grace means unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it. And his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. See, the issue was Satan saying, why is it wrong to be your own God? What's wrong with that? Seems only fair. And God's answer is, because that leads to unspeakable evil. And Satan says, prove it. And God says, look at the history of mankind. They wanted to be their own God, and everything went to hell, literally. But then God so loved the world that he saved us. And so it's important to understand that we are the reason that that question of why it's wrong to want to be your own God, we're going to be the ones that will forever settle that question. Did you get that? In heaven, you and I are going to be the exhibit A that's going to settle that question forever so that there's not chaos in the universe. That's according to what Paul says. So we are here to get ready to be that. If you're a Christian, you're here to train. We're supposed to get ready for eternity. Train for an eternity of proving God's wisdom and grace to the angels in a future beyond our understanding. And here's what it says about that. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We can't possibly understand it. Cannot. So finally, why are we here? What's the answer? Each one of us gets to choose. Because if you're a Christian, you have one answer, but if you don't believe in Jesus, you have another and a different answer. I'm here to live my life. I'm here to save the planet. I'm here to, help. ESPCA. Not that that's a bad thing. Do you see your life as being training for you? Do you see this present life as being a time when you're supposed to get ready for something greater than this life? We can't possibly understand what we're even going to be doing there. But time and space, as we know it, won't exist anymore. It'll be a totally different existence. But you and I both know it's going to be a greater existence than this life. It's the old song that when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So the Bible says God made the world in 7 days, and Jesus has been preparing a place for us for 2,000 years. So what do you think that's going to look like? We can't possibly understand. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your day. If you're a mom and you want to have a testimony and a purpose for your life, this is your day. The question of, so why are we here, needs to be to live for Jesus. To live for Jesus. But you can't do that unless you come to Jesus. Just do what I did years ago. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died to take away the punishment that I deserve. You rose from death on the third day, so I wouldn't have to be afraid to die. And now I want to be your follower. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit. Live your life in me, and I will live for you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.